In the first reading today, St. Paul speaks to the Ephesians about the great grace that was given to him, and that is to announce to the Gentiles the good tidings of the unfathomable riches of Christ. And he says to enlighten all men as to what is the dispensation of the mystery that has been hidden from eternity in God. Now, we look at a few other spots in Scripture. St. Paul talks about this mystery, but he never tells us what it is, except in one spot, and that is the mystery is that the Gentiles are now co-heirs with the Jews and members of the same body. And so if that being the case, then what he's talking about becomes even more astounding, because we hear about how it is to be made known through the church to the powers and principalities in heaven, the manifold wisdom of God. So what is it that we are able to teach the angels? Think about that. The angels have infused knowledge. They don't have knowledge like ours, which is received through the senses and therefore through experience. Knowledge for the angels is simply infused. In fact, what God does is he gives the knowledge to the highest angel, who passes it on to the next one, to the next one, to the next one. Unlike human beings with the telephone game, that wouldn't work very well because it'd be all messed up by the time you got to the third one. But because the intellect of the angels is clear and in that sense as perfect as can be with each angel, what gets passed on is the truth. But each angel can only accept as much as possible, so each one actually is able to receive a little bit less than the one in front of it, but nonetheless, what they're receiving is still the same truth. And therefore, there is no watering down of that truth. So if the angels are able to receive knowledge through infused gift of God, what is it that St. Paul is talking about when he says that through the church, this mystery which has been hidden even from the angels now can be manifest to them? Pretty amazing thing, isn't it? That means you have the ability to teach your guardian angel something. And so what is it? He goes on with all these beautiful things that he talks about, and then he comes to this point at the end when he talks about that you might know the length and height and depth and breadth and know Christ's love which surpasses knowledge in order that you might be filled unto the fullness of God. The love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled. Think about that. The angels do not have this, but you do. The angels dwell with God, but right now God dwells with you. Listen again to what he said. In order that you might be filled unto the very fullness of God. That's... Talk about mind-blowing. Talk about beyond knowledge. There's no way we can grasp this. And yet that is literally what is happening inside of you right at this very moment if you're in the state of grace. And of course, happening even more so because you just received Jesus into you. And literally the very fullness of God dwells in you sacramentally right now, because you've just received him. The universe cannot contain God. And yet people have marveled because in the womb of a virgin, the fullness of God dwelt. How can this be? That he is bigger than the universe, infinitely bigger than the universe, and yet he can come to dwell in the womb of a woman. And now, even though we can look at it and say, but that woman was without sin, that woman was perfect, that woman was glorious. But now, there's an even bigger mystery. He would dwell in you and me, who are anything but perfect and wonderful and glorious. But that's what he's doing. And so, as St. Paul makes very clear, this is something we cannot understand. This is beyond knowledge. And yet it is happening in your soul right at this very moment. So if we look at this even from a different perspective then, the angels knew from the very beginning that God was going to become man. God had made that very clear the minute that, well, not the minute, but shortly after Adam and Eve fell, he made that promise of what was going to happen. The angels knew this. This wasn't a surprise to them. It is a mystery to them how it can happen, just as it will be for us for the rest of eternity, and even for the human intellect of Jesus. His human intellect cannot understand fully the mystery of the incarnation. His divine intellect, yes, understands it perfectly. His human intellect cannot. So neither can the angels, and neither can we. And so again, now you begin to understand the love of God is beyond the knowledge of created beings, whether angelic or human. But now it gets even more interesting, because if we look at it and say, okay, the two natures of Jesus are completely united in such a way that they cannot be separated, and therefore, what the angels would not be able to understand until it happened is that the love of God, the literal love of God himself, is actually shining through a human nature. That a human heart is able to bring the love of God into the world. A human heart, which is finite, is somehow able to grasp, not grasp, but able to have the fullness of the divine love and express that in a manner that is beyond comprehension. The angels couldn't grasp that. It's one thing to be able to say, okay, God's going to take a human nature. It's another to be able to say the divinity is going to work through that humanity, that these two natures are going to be so perfectly united together that even though they are totally separate from one another and they do not interfere with one another, neither can they be separated from one another. And that the divinity can actually work through the humanity. That's what our Lord does. So now he continues to do that. He continues to pour himself out in the Holy Eucharist, which is the fullness of our blessed Lord. And as we know, in those occasions where the host has become a piece of human flesh, it is cardiac tissue every single time. Remember, the only place in your body that has cardiac tissue is your heart. So it's the fullness of the humanity of Jesus, but in order for him to be able to show that to us, he's given us his heart. Where the love of God radiates through and brings the divinity into the created world, brings the love of God to the very creatures who were created in his image and likeness, created to receive his love and to love him. But now he is doing that in a way that, to some degree, we can comprehend. Obviously not fully, but we understand, to some degree, human love. Because we're human. So we have no excuse. We can't say, well, he's God, I don't get it. Now, he's also one of us. We get it. We don't get how it happens. We can't comprehend fully his love. But even there, for those of you who are married, do you comprehend the fullness of the love your spouse has for you? No. You can't. Because even human love is beyond understanding. And if human love is beyond understanding, divine love is infinitely beyond our understanding. So no, we can't comprehend it. But to a degree, at least because of human experience and human nature, we can understand. And that's what our Blessed Lord is doing. He not only gives himself to you, but now it gets even more interesting because now he is going to employ your heart to be able to love through to other people. That's what he desires for each one of us. He wants to radiate through us. He wants that love of God to come through our human heart. Now, because our human heart is not quite like his, because of course his is perfect, and ours is very sullied from sin, we've got a clean house so that all the gunk that we have piled in there can get out of the way so that his love can radiate through us. That's what your angel wants to see. That's the mystery that your angel cannot comprehend. That through you, the divinity, the divine love, can be brought into the world. Through you. Try and figure that one out now if you want. It isn't going to work. So don't try and understand. Just accept. And it's the same thing again, as I've already mentioned with those of you who are married. Don't try and figure out your spouse's love because it won't work. Just accept. That's what Jesus wants. Now, because we don't understand, we begin to doubt. Because it doesn't make sense to us, we begin to entertain things that would go the other way. So now bring it back to your marriage. Imagine looking at your spouse and saying, I don't understand your love, so I don't believe that it's real. This can't really happen. Again, no. You can't love me because I'm not lovable. Really? And what's your spouse going to do? Or put it the other way, what if your spouse said that to you? Would you be just a little bit devastated? You'd be really devastated that your spouse would actually doubt that you love him or her. That your spouse would think himself or herself to be unlovable and therefore that you cannot love your spouse. Imagine what we do to Jesus when we say, this can't happen. No, he wouldn't do that. I'm not lovable. He can't love me. This can't happen. We're rejecting his love. We're rejecting his invitation. We're rejecting the mystery because it's a mystery and we can't understand it. We therefore reject it. And we're supposed to be showing to the angels what this mystery is about, and we don't even accept it and believe it. It's time that we reject the lies. As Saint Elizabeth of the Trinity said, let yourself be loved. Let yourself be loved. Because God loves you. And he wants you to receive that love, and he wants you to doubt no longer but believe, so that we can allow him to love through us, so that we can bring his love into the world. Just as he did 2,000 years ago through his own humanity. Now he wants to do that through yours. That's quite the mystery. So don't try and figure it out, because it's beyond comprehension. Just accept, because it is a mystery, one that you will never fully understand. But that doesn't make it any less real, any more than the humanity and divinity of Jesus is something that we can't understand, so therefore it can't be real either, right? No, it's as real as it gets. And so is the Lord dwelling in you, loving you, loving through you. That's what he desires. Imagine how wonderful it would be if we were actually allowing this to happen. love God and love neighbor. Isn't that what he said? That's what he wants to do through us. What a wonderful life. What a wonderful thing if we were actually doing it. So on this wonderful feast, ask him for that grace. The grace to get out of the way. The grace to quit trying to figure it out because it's a mystery, so we're not going to figure it out. The grace simply to accept, to receive, and to allow him to love in us and through us.